Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the fuck up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
Rebecca, shut this goddamn door. Welcome to the Believe You Me podcast. I am not singing the intro. Harrington, beardless Harrington, chinless? No, you have a chin, Harrington. You do have a chin. How are you, buddy?
Good. I have just enough beard to form a chin, which is like the about 1 week is what I told my girlfriend to expect. And here we are. I think I'm broadcast ready now.
Yeah, no, you're looking good. You're looking good. Funnily enough, I booked a movie role. I mentioned it, I think. And I got a text today from the director and she told me, hey, no more fucking haircuts. Okay, because I'm going to be like looking all gruff and whatnot. And no more trimming that weak-ass beard of yours, is what she said. So I text back and I said, I'm actually offended. She goes, no, you said on the podcast yourself that you can't grow a beard. I'm like, oh, shit, yeah, that's right. Fair enough. Point taken. So you're going to get your beard back. I'll be growing my beard. If it was a competition, you would win. I'm not a real man. We've established this. Anyway.
He's already ahead. It's kind of gross.
He is already ahead.
You're getting a head start. Let's see where we're at in like 3 weeks. This will be interesting.
It's the highlight of my life. This is the number one competition. You're not talking to competitions. You sent me a parcel today. Rebecca, will you bring that picture?
Oh, you got it. Awesome. This.
Yeah, I did. I did. Rebecca. She doesn't know. Oh, God. Rebecca.
Anyway, that's what happens when you soundproof your room. Now picture, she can't hear
that picture. Yeah, no. So there's a horse, and I'm not trying to talk about myself constantly. There's a horse called Bisping, and they sent it into the studios, and Harrington kindly sent it to me. Look at that beautiful beast. So Anna Goulet, she's the owner. Ricky Corville is the trainer, and Devin Magnon is the jockey. Congratulations to them all. I'm going to find a nice little spot. I would put it behind me, but you won't even see it. But still, there we go. There's that. You will notice, ladies and gentlemen, Lionheart Smith, he's not here.
He's not?
He's not here, so we've got to deal with you. But fortunately, we've got Arnold Allen. Yes, the something highly ranked featherweight contender. What is he, like 4, 5?
Yeah, he's either 4 or 5. I'll check right now.
Something like that. But we've got a lot of good stories to talk to. We've got Arnold Allen joining us very, very shortly as well. And we have Mike Harrington. So I apologize for that one. But
he's actually 4 and 5. Him and Calvin Kattar are both ranked number 5, weirdly.
Oh, that'd be a good next fight, actually. So we're going to ask him because he's not on UFC London, which is surprising for me. But I think for Arnold, it'd be a great thing because hopefully they put him on a pay-per-view. Hopefully they put him on a big featured spot, even just on a fight night in the States, which he has done a few times, but it'll just get him more notoriety, a little bit more fame, a little bit more rub, because in terms of skills, the man has got it. Anyway, we'll talk to him in a minute. Fights at the weekend, real quick. Rafael Dos Anjos versus Rafael Fiziev. Shocking 5th round stoppage for Rafael Fiziev. Congrats to him. What did you think, Harrington?
I thought it was kind of similar to the Vandera versus Sherman fight, which is a little bit earlier on the card, where, you know, it was kind of back and forth. It could have been either way. You know, I wouldn't have been shocked if the judges' scorecards were, you know, 2 rounds apiece to both men heading into the 5th. And like you said, Fiziev just caught that urgency bug, and, you know, the combination, the knee, you know, he looked every bit as terrifying as he was, you know, hyped up to be on the broadcast before he went out. And, you know, I think he cemented himself as, you know, true contender at 155.
Yeah. Well, without question, you stop Rafael Dos Anjos, which is I don't know. I mean, when's the last time Dos Anjos got stopped? I honestly don't know. Just look that up, Harrington or Brian, while we talk. It looked like Fazeev was starting to get tired. It looked like the game plan of Dos Anjos wearing on him, trying to take him down, was starting to pay off, because the takedown defense, which statistically was 95% going into that fight, was certainly paying off. You know, he was stopping most of them, but in round four, he spent some time on the canvas. And as I said, starting to slow down. And I thought, oh, here we go. Dos Anjos is going to turn it up in round five. You know, that experience is going to win through. It was the first time Fazeev was going five rounds, but I was incorrect. Round five start, he went out there, boom, beautiful left hook, sat him down, followed up with another one. Mark Smith stepped in. I initially thought it was an early stoppage, but then I thought, no, you know what? Mark Smith is a tremendous referee, and he's a very, very smart man. Did you know he used to be a fighter jet pilot? Yeah.
I have heard that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He used to be a fighter jet pilot. I mean, what a cool motherfucker. Now
he's got to be pretty smart.
Now, well, you do, to be a pilot in general. To be a fighter jet, you got to be a pilot. You got to be, you got to have balls and brains. It's kind of like the combination I've got. Do you know what I mean? Balls and brains is the complete package. You know what I mean?
Looks, ability to hit segues. You got it all.
He's segue all over the place. Oh, speaking of which, there it is. Segway Master of the Year, Arnold Allen. How are you, my brother?
Good, mate. Yourself?
I'm good, mate. I'm good. I feel like this is long overdue.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way.
It's like, yeah, you're going to tell me, dickhead. I've been waiting for ages for the invite. Hey, first of all, thank you very much. I know it's late over there, and I know you got your training schedule. So, yeah, no, I appreciate you making the time, buddy. We always start a little later on a Monday. So yeah, my bad. What are you training for? Just staying in shape?
Oh, man, I train all year. Even if I've got, you know, nothing coming up, I'm training. Yeah, I'm always training.
What was the reason? Or was there any ever talk of you being on UFC London, or was that always a non-starter?
Yeah, that was shut down before it even started, really. Just the hands. I just always had issues with my hands, really. It's literally been a career-long issue. Like, I literally signed to the UFC with hand injury.
Oh, shit. Injury,
so, yeah. But, I don't know, you're probably the wrong person to moan to about injuries. And
Well, it's just part of the process, though, isn't it? Sadly, it really is. I mean, everyone gets injured. I mean, look at Darren Till. Darren Till just had to drop out the bloody London card.
Yeah. No, I got it to see that, to be fair. I was looking forward to seeing him back, especially now working with Hamzat. So.
Yeah. You know what? Let's get some quick predictions from you. So we got Tom Aspinall, Curtis Blaydes. How do you see that going down?
I think Tom Aspinall wins, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as the other fights have been. You know, Curtis Blaydes got a tricky style for him. You know, he's a good wrestler, good pressure. I think the jiu-jitsu would probably be the difference in it.
Yeah. Well, he can't keep going through opponents the way he has been doing. Do you know what I mean? It's like he's just wiping the floor with everybody. At some point, somebody's got to give him a fight. So maybe that'll be that. Anyway, enough of that. Bit of background on you, Arnold Allen. So your father was a strongman bodybuilder, correct?
Yeah, strongman, yeah.
So tell us about how you got started in the sport of mixed martial arts and became one of the top featherweights in the world.
Yeah, I started boxing. I started boxing at first because my dad was having a couple of MMA fights sort of back in the day when it was cage fighting.
Yeah. What year are we talking here?
I think it was like early 2000s sort of.
Right.
Yeah. It was a Dorman sort of.
Classic.
Sort of car park fighter for the start.
Yeah.
And then a couple of cage fights. I don't know if he had some fights behind hay bales or some stuff. But yeah, I thought, you know, my dad does that. That's shit. I don't want to do that. So I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Then I got into boxing. So I thought I went the complete opposite direction into boxing. And that didn't really work out. It just wasn't really the scene weren't in my location at the time. So I got into MMA.
Was he? I think it was your brother and your dad that I saw at the gym in one of your fights. And we actually shared an Uber back to the hotel. And your brother was telling me that you were always, always getting into fights on the streets.
Nah.
That's what he told me.
Really? Yeah, that'd be my problem. Nah. I thought, too many. Nah, I've been beaten up a few times.
Oh, well. Oh, well. We've all been beaten up, Arnold. Jesus Christ. I'll tell you when you didn't get beaten up, though, was last time out against bloody Dan Hooker. Jesus Christ. For those that didn't see it, how quickly did that end? Like 90 seconds?
Yeah, was it like 2 minutes or something, I think?
Mate, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Biggest fight of your life, biggest crowd, and you go out there and absolutely smoke him.
Yeah, yeah. I always thought that, like, the toughest test to sort of bring out my best. And, yeah, it's the first sort of, not the only time, but the first time I've been sort of looking across thinking, like, fucking hell, this guy's good. You know, better pull it out my ass sort of thing, you know. And, yeah, it worked out.
Yeah, no, it certainly did, mate. So who do you think you're going to get next? Has there been any discussions with the UFC? Because I'm assuming it's got to be a top contender.
Yeah, I think, to be fair, because I called out Calvin Kattar after the fight. I think if I wasn't having hand issues, I would have had the fight he had against Emmett. But, I mean, everyone wants to fight upwards, don't they, on a win streak. And that's the goal. That is the goal, to fight upwards. I'm not too fussed who it is. Like, you know, I want to be the best. So you got to beat the best guys.
Well, you are doing that so far. What is the actual issue with the hand? Is it a bone? Is it a tendon? What is it?
Yeah, so I had a break in my left hand after the Sadiq fight. So then I had a long time out from that one, and the doctor didn't want to operate on it or whatever. So we just waited. I kept trying to come back to training sooner and then injuring it again.
Right.
But then from the Hooker fight, I had injuries in both hands and it was tendon. But I had two cortisone shots in the right hand and then one in the left hand. And it's just every time I try and pick up the training and get back into sparring a bit, something goes again. And it's, yeah, so slowly but surely.
Ah, well. So when do you think you'll be back in?
Definitely this year. I'm optimistic this year. And it's getting to the point where I'm getting older, getting to that point where it's like, you're young, you've got time. It's getting to the point where it's like, I ain't going to be too much younger too long. So
how old are you?
28.
Oh, mate, come on. 28, buddy. Jesus Christ, you're making me feel old.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying, though, because you don't want to waste time. That's what I always say to Darren, because obviously Darren, you know, we spoke last week and he's devastated he had to pull out. Yeah. And I said, well, you're doing the right thing, mate, by not rushing back. Same for you. I said, I mean, you're on a crazy win streak. As we know, Darren's had some, you know, he has had the best run lately. Yeah. I said, you don't want to rush back half-hearted. You don't want to come back with a fucking injury and get beaten again in a fight you could have won. I said, so to your point, I said, you're still young. You've got all the fucking time in the world. Your career's going nowhere. Rest up, come back 100%. So when you come back in a perfect world, Calvin Kattar, that's what you're thinking?
Yeah, you know, and to be fair, I thought he won the last fight. It was a good fight. It was like, it weren't a robbery in any stretch, I don't think. But yeah, I had him up winning on the round side and winning on scorecards. But yeah, it was tight. It wasn't a robbery or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I see, I mean, he's pushing hard for the title shot, and he's so. But I'm pretty sure I just see something announced saying Yair was getting the next shot with a win this weekend. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Who's he fighting again? Oh, Ortega. I mean, that's a sick fight. Let's get a prediction from you.
I think Yair wins it. I think he wins it. I don't think Brian's going to be able to take him down. And I definitely don't think he's going to be able to strike with him. You know, maybe catch onto a guillotine like he does. Maybe even pull guard. I don't know. Yeah, I just don't see him winning on the feet against Jair. So,
the problem is, like, and this isn't disrespectful to jiu-jitsu people, but jiu-jitsu purist, which he's not a purist, but he's definitely got a massive background in jiu-jitsu. Yeah. He's very good. T-City. They often lack in the wrestling department. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, his hands have got better where he can knock people down, but taking them down, you know, I'm not saying he can't take someone down. He can, but he's not like a standout wrestler with respect. Yeah.
He's got that sort of like flat-footed boxing style where he's, you know, if you shoot on him, it's almost worse for you. So,
well, there you go. Yeah, that's often his takedown. He pulls guard on you and then guillotines your head off. Volkanovski, what are you making of him? And obviously, if you were to approach him or to fight him, which obviously is the plan, how would you approach that fight? What would the game plan be?
A lot like Max in the second fight. So I thought Max won the second fight against him. A lot of push kicks down the middle, clinching and kneeing every time he ducked his head, high kicks, faking low, high kicks, and the in and out footwork seemed to make the difference for him in that fight. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he just looked a step behind in the last one, to be fair. Just looked, I don't know if it's Volkanovski looked fast or Holloway was slow, but yeah, he was steps behind.
Yeah, and so what do you think? You think one more fight and you'll get a title shot? Has you or your manager broached this conversation with the UFC, with Shelby or Maynard? Shelby, right? Do you deal with Shelby?
Yeah. No, I hate being one. You know when you see them guys that are on the sidelines injured and then they're calling everyone out? I'm like, the last thing I want to do is be asking for things and I can't even sign a contract to fight them in it. So I hate to go into a camp and then halfway through pull out because my hands are again. And then,
I hate that's very respectful of you, Arnold. Do you know what I mean? And that's why you don't talk shit, because you do your talking in the octagon. And I respect that. And I believe a lot of people respect that. But you've probably heard me say it and other people say it as well. Arnold's fucking amazing in there, but he's got to make a bit more noise.
Yeah.
How annoyed does that make you when you hear me or other people say things like that?
No, I fully agree. When I hear you say it, I'm like, yeah, you're right. I probably should. But I just can't do it. It's just not me. Like,
yeah.
I always say when I get to this position and it makes sense to call someone out, I will call someone out. I called Cater out because I thought that made sense for the next step and he was above me. And I think they put us joint number 5 now. I don't understand really on number 6, but I'm ranked number 5 with Calvin. So I don't understand how that works. But
And what's the win streak? 7?
9.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
9.
Yeah, it's going all right.
That's not bad. So, and by the way, this is not because you're a better man than me. I was known for having a bloody big, stupid, loud mouth, and I still have one now. But fortunately, it's paying off for me. But when Demetrius Johnson was the same. I remember one time I had a press lunch with him, and he wouldn't even predict that he was going to win his fight. And because he said, and I talked about this recently, he said, "Yeah, he said, because if I lose, I'll look stupid." You know, and I was like, well, you're going to have a little bit of confidence there, buddy. But what is it? Is it just, have you always been like this, just a quieter guy and like you don't want to call people out? Because I don't think it's disrespectful and it's certainly a part of the game.
Yeah, it's not that. I don't, not like worried to say something and then it doesn't work out and I look a bit of a dick. But no, I just, I've never really been that guy. Like I've always been like the quieter one in my friend group, you know, and I'm pretty shy. So,
well, that's fine. Well, that's who you are, because the last thing you want to do is be someone that you're not.
Yeah.
Because then you look like an idiot, an absolute idiot, because you can always see it. The people that are forcing it, the people that are coming out with rehearsed lines on the microphone, and it's very cringe.
Oh, man, I hate it. It's horrible. You see it, come on. But
people
love it. Some people love it. So, yeah, fair play.
Yeah. Like, what do you make of Paddy the Baddy?
I think he's quality. I love
him. Yeah. He is hilarious. He's hilarious.
I was getting so many people asking me, they're saying, oh, doesn't it piss you off when you see Paddy getting all this attention? I'm like, not in the slightest. Like, I think he's awesome. Like, he's good entertainment. He comes to fight every time. It's funny. Like, I love it.
Yeah.
Why would you hate it?
What do you make of that matchup with Jordan Levitt? Who do you think wins that?
I think Paddy wins it. But I think it would be a tough test. Yeah, he's an awkward guy, weird style. Mm. It's a big risk because you don't want that guy, you don't want him twerking on you like after.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You said he's got a weird style. I was going to say he's got a weird celebration as well. Do you know what I mean? If someone knocked me out and then twerked on my bloody unconscious body, oh, bro, we're going to have an issue.
Yeah. So there's a lot at stake there, you know. If he doesn't win it, and that happens,
Yeah. Well, Paddy's on fire, though. He's doing great things. Yeah. All right. I don't know if you've ever seen the podcast, but it wouldn't be... Normally, we have Anthony Smith, but he's off now, sunning himself. Well, he's actually training his ass off in Aruba, which is a Caribbean island. So God bless him. He's doing great things. But we do have a couple of reprobates on here. Harrington and Brian, show yourself, please.
I would be half of the degenerate crew.
You are. Harrington used to have a beard. If you were to rank him out of 10 on looks, Arnold, what would you give him? And be honest, it's fine.
What, 6?
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's higher than what your girlfriend gives you.
I've got a question for Brian and Harrington. If I was to say to you guys, get me a meal deal, do you know what that would be?
I only know because I Googled it off of all of the Twitter replies to your question earlier.
Oh, I see. Arnold, like, go on.
Is it like ordering a number two at McDonald's?
No, it's not. Arnold loves a good meal deal. Some of the supermarkets have them. If you were to name the best supermarket for the meal deals, Arnold, who was saying?
It's depends what you want. Like, value for your money is Tesco. But if you want,
you stay on Harrington.
If you want actual good food, it's probably M&S, Marks and Spencer's. But yeah, it's going to cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah. So yeah, a meal deal is a sandwich, typically a bag of crisps or a chocolate bar, and like an orange juice or a Lucozade or something. Are we speaking a foreign language to you right now, Harrington?
Yeah. You're just making me hungry, is what you're doing.
So you might have saw the tweet, Arnold. So Harrington is going to read out a few of the questions that the people on Twitter have got for you.
All right. Arnold, from the house cat who watches MMA, what do you say to anyone who mistakenly shops at a Marks and Spencer's when there's a perfectly good Tesco in the same neighborhood? How do you correct their behavior? Cheers.
Not everyone's good for money. You know, it's just steer them towards Tesco's. But if you're rich, you know, get them in Marks and Spencer's. Let them spend it.
This is how you know Arnold is like a humble guy. You know, he's talking about when people aren't good with money. Yeah, there's a lot of fighters, a lot of sportsmen, athletes that aren't good with money. They're buying Lamborghinis. They're wasting the money on like Gucci clothes and all the rest of it. But Arnold's idea of wasting money is getting a Marks and Spencer's meal deal when there's a Tesco's across the street. That's how you know you got a real one. What else we got?
All right. Here's a question. What are your thoughts on fighting Josh Emmett for that number one contender spot? Right. Like you said, Josh has been calling for that number one contender spot. He has the win over Calvin Gaethje. What about jumping the line and going straight to Emmett?
Yeah. What is he? They ranked him like number three now, didn't they? That's a fight that's been, I think it was official once. It was scheduled twice. He pulled out and, I think he got hurt in sparring or something like the week before the fight, and it just never happened. And then I think he was supposed to be rescheduled and he wanted to fight upwards. So yeah, like, we've done a camp for each other a couple times, I think. So yeah, why not?
That'd be a great fight though. I mean, what a fight. And I think if you were to get that would be the one. You beat somebody like Josh Emmett. I mean, don't get me wrong, Dan Hooker is a big, big name as well. Yeah. But Josh Emmett is on fire. People are talking about him. You know, sorry, and we'll go back to you in a second, Harrington. Stay on. We want to see that beardless face. How does it make you feel when you hear Volkanovski has cleared out the division?
He's done a pretty good job, to be fair.
You're too nice.
I know.
He has. But you got to say, he has. He's cleared out everybody. But respectfully, I'm ranked number five, and we haven't fought yet.
That's it. The other boy, who's he fought? He hasn't fought Emmett. He hasn't fought Rodriguez. And he hasn't fought me. Has he fought Cater? No, he hasn't fought Cater either. But yeah. No. So there's a lot of people in line. There's a lot of us, you know, coming up. And there's only one of us on a 9-fight win streak, I guess. But yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of options coming. So.
But that is a fucking valid point. There's only one of us on a 9-fight win streak. I mean, who is there on 9-fight win streaks in the UFC? Probably you, Kamaru. There's only a handful of people. You know what I mean? So,
win streak is only Leon Edwards.
Shit.
He's got no contest in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. British MMA right now. And of course, I don't know if you're watching this, Harrington. You're probably not. But are you watching the women's Euro football right now? They're playing Norway as we speak. 7-0 to England. Go on, girls.
Yeah, that's quality.
Are you a fan of football, Arnold?
I watch more like local team now and then. I watch England when they play, but yeah, not really.
They're very pretty girls. I was shocked. they're playing Norway. They've all got blonde hair, blue eyes, slim, tanned. You know what I mean? I'm like, all of a sudden, I like football. I'm watching this game. I'm glued to it. What else we got, Harrington?
Speaking of which, we actually have a Twitter question. Who wins the Champions League next year, Arnold?
Well, I fucking know.
Yeah, me. I was like, go to Arnold on that one. I'm gonna say Real Madrid.
Yeah, sounds good.
That's my analysis.
As good a pick as any.
It's as good as any. We got any more?
Yeah. How many punches, how many of your punches would it take to knock your old man out?
To
be honest, I think my fucking hands would give up before his head. So. I think he'd knock me out TKO by my hands.
There's a theme here, Arnold, and I love it because it just shows what a great guy you are and how humble you are. But you're like, I'm not calling him out. Volkanovski's cleared out the division. My dad would probably beat me up. Do you know what I mean? And people will love that. And I'm sure the comments are going to be full. This guy's so humble and all the rest. But Arnold, come on. You got to stand up for yourself, bro. You got to fight your fight.
That's my old man. I can't stand up for that.
Fair enough. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about Shopify. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources that were once reserved for only big businesses. So if you have a business, if it's an upstart, if it's a startup, or it's an established business, you can sell everywhere now. You can synchronize online and in-person sales, and you can stay effortlessly informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibilities. Listen, I love how Shopify has the tools and the resources that make it easy for any business to succeed. And it doesn't matter if you're from, you know, from some small little town. If you have a product with Shopify, you are now selling worldwide all over the globe. As I say, reach customers online and across social networks. Okay, there's many, many different apps and integrations, you know, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and many more. You gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. This is more than a store. Shopify grows with you. Supercharge your knowledge, your sales, but more importantly, your success. Discover endless possibilities. Shopify is tirelessly reinventing tools of growth for millions of businesses, helping them succeed every single day. Listen, if you've got a product, if you've got a store, if you've got some kind of business and you don't have a presence online, you need to fix that. Once upon a time, that would be expensive. It would be complicated. It would be tough. Shopify makes it all very, very easy. Go to shopify.com/believe, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial, full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/believe right now for a free 14-day trial. shopify.com/believe.
Arnold, fact, you fought on the same card as Bisping when he fought Anderson Silva. Any memories from that card?
Yeah. So probably the main thing is, so before the fight, you know, in the workout rooms, you remember, obviously, Silva had, I don't know, his entourage with him. They were playing like bongo drums, screaming like kids and all sorts. So I was in his changing room, like we had the same workout room. And he came in when I was sort of doing my, it was like midweek, little sweat, shadow boxing, whatever. And he came in with about 20 people playing bongo drums, screaming, they were shouting. I said to him, I was like, mate, you got to get outside. You got to leave.
And, did you really?
Yeah, I said, can you wait outside, please? I can't be doing that. And he was like, yeah, like no problem. Like, sorry, like bowed at me a million times and left. And he stood outside. I'm thinking, oh, fuck, that is Anderson Silva. I'm like, shit. But they all waited. They waited for about half hour outside the room for me to finish my workout, and they all went back in. I was like, "Fair play, like nice guys."
I've got two things to say to that. One, again, that just shows Anderson Silva's the man. He really is. Yeah, because you know he could have just said, "Hey, fuck off! I'm the main event. I'm Anderson Silva. You know, I'm one of the greatest ever." But he was very respectful. He bowed and went outside and waited. And secondly, it just shows, don't listen, you might be humble, but don't anyone fuck with your training time. Because you're like, I don't give a fuck. I'm getting ready for my fight. And I'm Anderson Silva, get out. Yeah. Take your traveling clown show with you and wait outside, please.
That's pretty much it. This is outside. I'm like, oh, fuck's sake, what have I done? Yeah.
Harrington, what else we got?
One last one here. Just let me see if I can find the name here. Oh, Steve Williams wants to know, what weight do you walk around out and how hard are your weight cuts down to 145?
I'm about 84 kilos right now. I don't know what it is in pound. What's that? It's 185.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the weight cut's pretty smooth. weight cuts are pretty easy, to be fair. Yeah.
Good that, because obviously your dad was a bodybuilder. Was he a bodybuilder or a strongman?
Strongman, yeah.
Okay, but regardless, he knows about the human body. He's been around that side for a long time. So I'm assuming, that has he always helped you out with nutrition and stuff?
Fuck no. His nutrition is like extra large kebab, KFC, 20 eggs in the morning. No,
bit of Suss and Decker in the backside and off we pop.
Yeah, literally, that's it. That's what he kept saying about my hands. He's like, oh, it's a shame I can't use the supplements I got upstairs. Like, that'd fix it, right?
Well, that's what a lot of people do when they break bones. They get on the gear, you know what I mean? But
he swears by it. But yeah,
throwing your dad under a bus a bit there. Yeah. All right, mate. Well, listen, we don't want to keep you too long because I know you got to be up early. That's a true professional. You haven't even got a fight booked, and you're getting up at 5 a.m. for a training session.
Yeah, that's my only job. Isn't it? I've just got to train. So even if I can't train home, like last year when I had this hand in a cast, I didn't miss a session. I was training, doing what I can, one-handed boxing for about 6 months. But yeah,
it's that kind of discipline, Arnold, that's why it's paying off. All jokes aside, it really is, because I don't think a lot of people are like that, you know. And I'll be honest, looking back at my career, I wish I was more disciplined. I was always disciplined in camp, but in between, I used to let myself go. I drink a bit too much, you know. As we see Paddy right now, and I'm not trying to get you to talk shit about Paddy, but what do you think of that approach, the ballooning up and down?
I mean, I'm sure he knows it ain't good. It's not good for your health. Like, no one can think it is. Like, I get pretty heavy after I eat a bit of shit for a few weeks. But I always have this sort of thing. If I'm eating crap at the same time, I have to be training double. It's in my head. I always just feel guilty. So, like, if I'm eating shit, I'm going for a run, or, you know, like, I'm making sure I get my three sessions in. But yeah, it's health is wealth in it. And trying to get that longevity going and trying to avoid them injuries, as definitely things start hurting a little bit more now, as I've been fighting for a long time. So,
do you stretch a lot?
Not as much as I should, but yeah, I'm doing more and more. Everyone told me, like, when I was sort of early 20s, like, they wish they'd stretch when they're in their 20s, and now they're like, you know, late 30s and they're feeling it. But I never listened.
Nah, but my wife hates me because whenever I'm like talking to fighters or whatever, or giving advice, I'm always like, make sure you stretch. Because I was the same, you know, you have a hard training session, and then when it's done, you want to get out, you want to shower, you want to go and eat. Last thing you want to do is spend 20 minutes or so properly stretching. But right now, I'm so fucking tight. And like, I don't want to look like Dan Henderson in a few years. I can't move my neck. So if I can give you one piece of advice, Arnold, make sure you're stretching.
Yeah, no, I'll take that.
All right, mate. Well, listen, when you get a fight booked, I'd love it if you could come back, jump on the podcast, talk about it then. But we'll leave you to it, mate. Hopefully. Mate, no, absolute pleasure. Long overdue. Love your career. I love what you're doing. Honestly, you have got the real potential to be a future champ. And I think right now, British MMA, we've got Tom, we've got Leon, we've got you, there's Paddy, there's Paul Craig, you know what I mean? Molly's doing good things at flyweight as well. It's really in a strong place.
Yeah. It's the future's bright, I think.
Future's bright. The future's British. All right. Well, we'll let you get out of it. Arnold, you're the man. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All the best, my friend. Take care and rest that hand up.
Cheers, man. See you now.
Cheers, mate. There he is, the great number 5 ranked Arnold Allen on an incredible 9-fight win streak. And yeah, can't wait for his next one. It's going to be a big one. After that, has to be a title fight. But still, we got a lot of news to get to.
Okay, well, like you said, we got some big news, and there's no bigger news than the news itself.
Correct.
There was an Albany reporter who was giving a story about, you know, the crazy heat wave
Albany,
in Texas.
Albany, New York.
Yeah.
Oh, I love a bit of Albany. Hmm.
You ever been?
No.
Not missing much. This woman went on, she was talking about the heat waves down in Texas, and a lot of people were concerned by her demeanor on air. Brian, if you want to bring it up, I think you'll see why, Michael.
More than 50 million people across the country southeast are under warnings for excessive heat. Boy, don't you know that? 105 degrees in Texas today. I just spoke with my mother. That's what she's dealing with. It's a major heat wave, and it is It's just heading everywhere. We're so lucky. It's only 80 degrees here. We are really lucky here in the Capital Region. I mean, let me tell you about that. These areas are reaching such areas. I mean, it's Houston, Austin, San Antonio. I mean, they're not expected. It has happened. Like, you don't need us telling you that it's bad. It's like, people are being told to like stay inside, drink a lot of water. And we are just lucky. This weekend right here is so amazing. Meteorologist Craig Adams is right here with you.
What's the issue?
You couldn't tell her being absolutely hammered drunk slurring through her water?
Well, if she was hammered drunk, she was holding that together pretty good. I got to say, I'll give her credit. Yes, Brian.
There's more.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, hold on. Before you press play, because you can definitely hear a little slurring of the words, right? I heard that. I could pick up on that straight away. But I thought it was going to get worse. Do you know what I mean? Because even though, let's just say she has been having some drinks, one could say, as in Chuck Liddell, that he took some sleep medication. Remember when Chuck Liddell fell asleep on that morning breakfast show? Actually fell asleep while being fucking interviewed. That is one of the greatest things ever. You know, so you never know. Maybe some medication or whatever. But, you know, because I like to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Maybe somebody like slipped them an edible.
I don't like to throw a stone. Those who live in glass houses should not throw stones. I don't live in a glass house and I don't throw stones. But press play and let's see what we got.
Meteorologist Craig Gold is working a double shift. And so he's in, and we've been tracking this. And, you know, we've been talking about just like what it's been like across the country and the different reasons that why it's so hot in other areas. And we're having really nice weather here. So let's get over to Craig Gold. Hey, yep. Craig.
All right. Good evening, Heather. And yeah, the weather.
Is that it? Again, not that bad, Brian. Like, the Believe You Me podcast now has turned into bloody weather reports for San Antonio and Texas or wherever she was talking about. Weather sounds lovely, okay? It wasn't that, yeah. I mean, has she been absconded? Has there been a public outcry? Has she been fired? What's the deal?
She has been suspended pending an investigation. But yeah, a lot of people were calling into the station being like, "What is going on here? This woman is clearly disheveled."
This woman may be suffering right now. You ever considered that? Do you know what I mean? You know, if you've got a mental health crisis, all of a sudden everyone feels, you know, everyone bends over backwards for you. The woman's going through a lot, you know. Maybe her private life is falling apart and she had no choice but to down a couple of little of the miniature vodkas from the minibar before she went on, because it was the only thing that could get her through a day. Did we ever consider that before we start mocking her and ridiculing her and just, you're just throwing fuel on the fire, gasoline, Harrington.
Well, speaking of someone who lives in glass houses, I just wanted to know, how did she do compared to how I did after I was dosed, let's say?
We're comparing glass houses to no houses.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, for those that don't know, the lost episode of Harrington when I was in Singapore was kind of like that. It was like that, let's be honest. Poor woman. I feel sorry for her. You know, and Bispin always feels sorry for the alcoholics because he is one. I'm not a fucking alcoholic, you little pricks. I do enjoy a little tipple here and there. If you do
enjoy a little tipple here or there, this actually might be a lifesaver for you. I don't know if you've seen this, Mike. There is a pill that can cure a hangover before you've even started drinking.
I don't believe it. There's so many of these on the market. Because let me tell you, I've tried a few of them and they don't work. There's one called Rescue Water. I don't know if you've seen that. Before you start drinking, you're supposed to drink this. I mean, hey, listen, maybe there is. I mean, modern medical science is unbelievable what they can do these days, isn't it?
This is the first one. Like, instead of a lot of those things that you're talking about, they just try to give you more electrolytes and hydrate your body. Yeah. This one, it's called Miracle. It actually breaks down the alcohol in your system.
The thing is, because I read an article on this a long time ago, because you know the hair of the dog, you know, when you have a drink the next morning, it does make you feel better. And there's a scientific reason why. And it's because when your liver processes the alcohol, it produces a chemical or a product, shall we say, called acetaldehyde. I think that's how it's pronounced. And it's actually a legit poison. So that's why you feel like shit, because your body is producing this poison, you know, because it's a byproduct of processing the alcohol. When you take another drink, when you start drinking a beer or whatever it is, a Bloody Mary or whatever floats your boat, your body stops producing the acetaldehyde and starts processing the alcohol again. So it legit scientifically makes you feel better. And that's what I tell Rebecca. When it's 9 o'clock in the morning and I'm having a beer for breakfast, I'm like, babe, this is science at its highest fucking level. What is wrong with you, woman? Jesus, I've got my lab coat on. I've got my spectacles. I'm a very, very smart man right now as I'm standing there like the news reporter. Listen, Lucas, make your bloody room. Come on. No, but seriously, it is. Hey, listen, if there's a hangover pill that works, whoever designed that will be a very, very wealthy man.
Dude, it is just $5. Apparently, you take two of these and it makes the next morning a breeze. Some health charities are saying it's going to be so effective that the long-term effects of people like who don't drink because they're afraid of the hangovers, like it's going to get worse.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see. The jury is out. I'd love to try it. Problem is I don't drink anymore. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, it's true, though. Today.
Not since the last time.
Not since the last time. But the fact is, I've got this movie coming up, so I've got to get in shape. So today, 2 days, the hardcore. I mean, I'm in decent shape. I've been lifting weights like crazy, bulking up a bit, but now the slim down starts. But maybe
Hugh Jackman talks about that. He's like, you know, that's how I get the passion and perseverance to get out of bed at 5 a.m. in, you know, my 40s and 50s, because I know I'm going to be shirtless on an 80-foot tall screen. So
yeah, well, no, for sure. I'm going to be shirtless. I'm running around bloody almost naked. So I've got to get my ass in gear. I don't want to be bloody self-conscious. So anyway, enough about that. We'll go back to the fights on Saturday night. Main event, Fazeev did fantastic. You know, I felt for Dos Anjos, obviously used to be a teammate of mine. We used to train under Jason Perillo, of course. So, you know, I have so much respect for him. But regardless, the better man won on the night. You know, there's no question about that. Mark Smith, as I was saying, he was looking down on the opponent. Excuse me. I was looking from an angle where I'm looking straight at him and his head's looking up. So I couldn't see his eyes. Mark Smith is looking down at the opponent, sorry, at the fighter's eyes, right? And they get the best look. And it looked like he might have got unconscious for a second. And if it looks like that, then he did the right thing. So, you know, it's a shame for Dos Anjos. Fazeev, unbelievable. I mean, potential future champion. Only problem is lightweight, so many stars. Anyway, great night of fights. There's one fight I do want to talk about because we've got a lot of news to get to. So some real good stories as well that I want to break down. But the opening fight on the main card, yes. Michael Johnson versus Jamie Mullarkey. What an insane fight that was. I mean, both guys, they say you got to leave it in the octagon. They both left it in the octagon. Their stock both went up. I mean, that by far the fight of the night. And one of the best fights I've seen recently. Of course, recency bias is a thing. But that was just incredible. Round one, Johnson gets dropped. End of the round, Mullarkey gets dropped. Or the other way around, Mullarkey gets dropped and then Johnson gets dropped. I mean, it was fucking high output, a lot of strikes, high drama. You know what I mean? Both men left it all in there. And at the end of it, when I walked in to do my interview, I hate this situation because obviously a lot of the time, if there's a stoppage, you know who won, right? And then a lot of the time you're like, all right, I got a good idea who's going to get this decision. So you start prepping questions in your head. It's like, okay, I'll ask him about this. I'll ask him about that. But I'm literally standing there thinking, I have no idea. Idea who's going to win this one. You know what I mean? It could have gone either way, one of those fights. But, and this, I almost don't want to mention this because it's almost like I'm taking away from Michael Johnson, which I'm not. It's just big it up, Jamie Mullarkey. Sunday morning, I was leaving the hotel. I'm going down. My dad was here. My dad's in the front room right now visiting. So there's me, my dad, and Callum. We're all at the Apex together. Three generations of Bispins. It's very cool. But we're leaving, and there's Ross Pearson, who now trains Jamie Mullarkey. Oh. And Ross is sitting in the lobby, and we were waiting for Callum to come down. So me and my dad go and sit with him. You know, he's an old friend. I've known him for a while. Shout out, Ross. I'm having a little coffee, just waiting for Callum. We're chatting away, saying, oh, wow, what a great fight. I said, how's Jamie doing? He said, oh, he's at the hospital. I said, really? I said, because I know he was pretty banged up. I said, but he was that bad. They kept him overnight. He said, no. He He said they took him to the hospital for precaution. They always do. When it's a tough fight like that and, you know, you've got obvious injuries on your face, they always take you as a precaution. When he got there, they started running tests on him and they said, you've got fucking pneumonia. So he had that fight with pneumonia and they weren't going to let him out of the hospital to even fly home.
So is he still in the hospital? Like, what's going on with him?
No. Ross messaged me later on and said, yeah, they're going to let him go because he's got to jump on a flight back to Australia that night. They were going to release him. Yeah, but he's got to go see a doctor apparently as soon as he gets back. But, I mean, obviously, he put that out of his mind. Just shows the power of the mind, to be quite frank. But incredible fight. And then when you hear that he did it with bloody pneumonia, unreal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that first round, you know, super back and forth. The second round, clearly dominated by Malarkey. I mean, it seemed like in the third round, Johnson had the better gas tank. And that makes sense. If one of the fighters has pneumonia, that's insane. That's Jordan's flu game taken to another level.
It really is. It really is. All right, let's just talk about Zippix for a second. Yes, our newest sponsor, Zippix Toothpicks. Zippix Toothpicks are nicotine-infused toothpicks to help you kick your nasty smoking and vaping habits. Zippix has supported over 100,000 people trying to kick their bad habit with their sublingual absorption. Listen, sounds very fancy. You stick the toothpick in your mouth, you get a little bit of a nicotine. You don't want to smoke the cigarettes. This process, it gets you your nicotine buzz quicker, safer, and cheaper than cigarettes and vaping, and nothing goes into your lungs. It takes 2 weeks for your lungs to even to begin to recover after you quit smoking. So please get your Zippix today. It comes in 6 flavors, cinnamon, peppermint, watermelon, whiskey, sweetwood, spice island, clove. Also comes in a B12 and the caffeine blend that really juices the creative process. You can Zippix anywhere you're not allowed to vape or smoke. Okay, so, you know, anywhere you can't smoke, you can stick a toothpick in. If you're on a plane, you can use a toothpick. There's no smell, no smoke, no hiding cigarette butts. Go to right now, ZippixToothpicks.com. Use the promo code BELIEVE to get 10% off your order. Listen, think of your future. Health is wealth, okay? Like Arnold Allen said, health is wealth. Quit smoking today. Do it in this great way. Listen to what I say. Lay by the bay. Make things out of clay. Go to ZippixToothpicks.com. Zippix, Z-I-P-P-I-X, ZippixToothpicks.com. And use the promo code BELIEVE to get 10% off. Okay, so I'm looking at this, something to do with Michael Chandler and the Masked Singer, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't seen this. I'm going to let you introduce it and give the background and all the rest of it. But can we all agree that The Masked Singer is the shittest TV show on planet Earth?
It's god awful. It's god awful. Who's it for?
Who enjoys that? I mean, maybe tiny little kids. Mickey Rourke was on there one time, which was very surprising because it doesn't seem like something Mickey Rourke would do. I'm assuming they pay very well.
Rudy Giuliani went on it and the judges walked.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I don't blame them. But go on, tell me about Michael Chandler.
Oh, I mean, you know, you've set it up just about enough. I mean, Brian, if you want to bring it up, Michael Chandler went on The Masked Singer to do. All right, can you take a guess at what song he would do?
Right. And first of all, because I want to know this, and this is no disrespect to Michael Chandler. I'm not saying Michael Chandler's not a big star, but I would assume before we even see it, there is no chance that any of the judges, the celebrity panel, the D-list celebrities, I don't even know who hosts it. There's no way none of them guessed Michael Chandler because, like, you know, I mean, MMA is a very popular sport now, you know, but still, it's not like we're like Michael Chandler's an ultra, ultra household name where you think of a singer and you go, oh, that's Michael Chandler. You might be thinking, you know, actors or entertainers or, you know what I'm saying, don't you? You know, I'm not trying to talk shit about Chandler, but.
Well, they got to do the show once a week. So they're going to be digging pretty deep at a certain point, you know?
All right, so Brian, do you know what song? Oh, you've got the tape there. Of course you know what bloody song. All right, give me a clue.
Female pop singer.
Things Tony Ferguson said after their fight.
Things Tony Ferguson said. Oh, God. What did he say? Catch me outside. How about that? What did Tony Ferguson say? What did he say after the fight? He went to sleep?
Yeah. Well, no. He said, hit me, baby, one more time.
Oh, God. All right.
Oh, baby, baby. Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed? That something wasn't right. Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let
you go. See that little Michael Jackson kick?
Now you're outside.
God bless you.
How you want it to be.
Yeah, we've had enough of the singing. Can you, Harrington was really getting into that one. Give me a Britney.
I was doing the skip forward to the reveal.
No, but give me a Britney's back, bitch, or something like that.
Leave Britney alone.
No, give me it's Britney, bitch.
It's Britney, bitch.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Thanks. Can we fast forward it to the big reveal? I want to see Michael Chandler taking his. And I got to say this. Hold on, before you press play. Fair play to Michael Chandler. Number one, that takes balls. Well, I don't know if it does if you're covered up, if no one knows. But still, there's balls here. I've never done karaoke in my life, right? And I certainly, I'd be very, very self-conscious doing that. So well done for having a laugh.
I was going to ask, if you had to, gun to your head, have to go on that show, what song are you going to sing?
Oh, shit. What song am I going to sing? Oh, God, I don't know. There's one. Welcome to the Hotel California. I can't sing Hotel California by the Eagles. There you go, Bosch. Let's take a look at the end. I want to see the grand reveal.
Yeah,
oh, bless. That's awesome. Well done to Michael Chandler. All right, let's move on. What do we have, Harrington? Throw something at me, please.
Number one in the notes here, just to go back to
I don't know if you noticed this, but I skipped past number one and went straight to four for a reason, because we talked about the fight on Saturday night and we've moved on. That's why I skipped one, and why I skipped two, and why I skipped three and I went to four. How about after four, you do fucking five?
How about this? Jake Paul has a new opponent for his MSG fight. Tommy Fury is out, apparently due to visa issues or something like that. So the replacement fighter is going to be the son of former WBC champion Haseem Rahman. Haseem Rahman Jr. He is 12-1. His one lone loss coming in May of this year by TKO, and the two are former sparring partners. What do you think about this fight?
Yeah, I mean, listen, fair play to Jake Paul. I'm not going to sit here and hate on it just for the sake of hating on it. Yeah, I like it. It's actually the type of fight that he should be going up against. At least this guy's a boxer. He's a young man. He's in his prime. He's a boxer. And he's a big guy as well. He's 6'3", I believe. And he's got a good record, 12-1. Granted, he lost last time out. But, and I know this because I talked about this on my YouTube, and everyone in the comments were like, the guy's record is terrible. Yeah, it's 12-1, but the people that he's beaten are absolute bums and all the rest of it. And no, they are for the most part. A lot of them, you know, they've got losing records. But that is how a lot of boxers start off. They start off fighting journeymen to build their records, to pad their records. I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm not saying it's how it should be done. I'm saying that generally is the trend in boxing. Certainly, if you've got somebody that you think can be molded into a potential star, a champion, they want to build them up. They want to give them that shiny, undefeated record. They want to give them confidence. You know, they want to have a lot of knockouts on the records. So they do. That is the way it goes. And then eventually they start fighting real competition. And maybe that's what happened last time with Rahman Jr. We don't know this. Obviously, his father shocked the world when he knocked out Lennox Lewis back in, I think it was like 97. I remember watching it in the King's Arms in Clitheroe. Very, very shocking. But Lennox got the revenge in the rematch, if I'm not mistaken. Well done to him. I'm just a little frustrated with Tommy Fury more than anything. And when I say frustrated, I don't mean frustrated. That's not the right word. I just can't understand. And now apparently he said it's his visa issues. Apparently he went to the airport and they wouldn't allow him to board a plane. Now, we know his brother Tyson apparently can't enter the United States of America right now. I believe so, because of his... Just Google this, Brian. I may be misquoting this, and I don't want to do that, but I think it's because of the Kinahans, who can't enter America, and they actually have a $5 million bounty on their heads. If somebody can bring, I forget his first name, but Kinahan, he's a wanted gangster, shall we say? Daniel? Yeah,
Daniel Kinahan.
Yeah, apparently there's a $5 million bounty on his head. And Tyson was associated with him. I saw a journalist pressing him on it, and Tyson was like, I don't want to talk about that. I know lots of people. And it was the right answer. The journalist kept asking and asking. He said, yeah, but you know him. You've worked with him. He said, I know lots of people. I've worked with lots of people. It doesn't mean that I'm a part of his criminal underworld, if he is a criminal underworld world boss. Allegedly. I don't need people coming after me. So maybe that's why Tommy Fury couldn't get on the plane. You know, if it was a visa issue, I don't understand why you'd go to the airport in the first place. You do not go to the airport unless you've got the visa in place. So what did you find, Brian or Harrington?
So I'm seeing here Tyson Fury was stopped from entering the country due to sanctions being placed on Kinahan by the United States and Fury's association with him. All I'm seeing here is there was visa issues, among other factors, have halted him from being allowed into America. Fury said on Instagram that the ESTA has been denied by Homeland Security.
Yeah, the ESTA. Okay, well...
It says here John Fury can't get into the country either because of his criminal history.
No, I'm a fighting man, and if I want to enter the United States of America, no man alive can stop me. No man alive. Not a bad John Fury. I do say so myself.
You nailed it.
Yeah. No man alive. Anyway, so there it is. Jake Paul's fighting Hazeem McMahon Jr. Well done. Darren Till is out of UFC London. We touched on it before. I'm devastated for the guy. Absolutely devastated. He's been training his ass off. He's been traveling all around the world. He was very, very supportive for Hamzat. He was in Vegas. He was in Sweden. I think he was in Arizona. He's been going all over the place. He's been training like a madman. He was in Florida. You know, this was a big fight. This was an opportunity against Jack Hermanson to get a win over a decently ranked opponent, a big name, and like, get the trajectory of his career back on track. You know, we all know that he struggled the last time against Brunson, but he's been haunted by injuries. You know, last time against Hermanson, he went in with a partially torn, I think it was an LCL, but he didn't have surgery. He just had a lot of stem cell therapy. I'm still very dubious about these stem cells. I mean, I've never had it, you know, but I don't know why I'm dubious. I'm just dubious of all these quacks, these doctors that claim they can do stuff, because they ain't done shit for me unless they open you up and fucking fix your knees properly. Do you know what I mean? Or fix my neck properly. Because all these therapists, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm very skeptical, but a lot of them hasn't worked for me. And it looked like, sadly, it didn't work for Darren.
Right. So I did want to follow up on that because, you know, like you said, it was a knee issue for the Brunson fight. You know, I feel like he had injured that heading into the Brunson fight. So it's like, you know, is this now a recurring nagging injury? And what is the fix for this? Because in the video that I posted in the notes, it's literally footage of his knee being drained, right? There's no question. It is a knee issue.
Let's take a look at that while you talk. Yeah, show that, please, Brian.
Right. So I'm just wondering if there is is there a connection there? Is that a thing where it becomes like a nagging, lingering injury? And then what is the correction to that?
Yeah, well, the thing is, and by the way, I've had this procedure done many, many times. When the knee swells up and there's a ton of fluid, that's to kind of protect the knee. You drain the fluid and, you know, things kind of go back to normal, but it will fill back up again pretty quick. Yeah. All right. That's it. We're seeing it again now, Bry. Well, listen, he tried the non-surgical route. He tried to fix it without getting surgery, which I understand because that'll put you out for a long time. So I would say, and I'm not a bloody medical professional. I don't even know the injury particularly, but probably a surgery and probably some more time out, which is what he's wanting to avoid and which is what he'll probably get so bummed out about. But I messaged him the other day. I said, listen, mate, you're still young. Your career's going nowhere, you know. And I understand for him, it's probably really frustrating. Tom Aspinall is his teammate. He's seen Tom top of the bill. Darren was supposed to be co-main event. I mean, what an awesome feeling that is to go through a training camp with your brother, with one of your good friends, your close training partners that you've trained with each other for years. And now here you are going to the O2 Arena. You're the main event. I'm the co-main event. We're on top of the goddamn world. And he had to pull out. So I said, listen, you know, you're still only 29 years old. You still potentially got a good 10 years in this sport. If it takes 6 months, if it takes 9 months or even a bloody year, take it, heal up, do the rehab, and then come back. You've still got, if you come back at 30, you've still got 8, 9, 10 years left at the top. And I do believe he can be a champion one day. I say that a lot. And a lot of people, you know, I think I'm just, because that's because he's a friend of mine. I do genuinely believe that.
Yeah. I mean, it is crazy though, just to process how, you know, to go back to England MMA. I remember a year ago, we were talking about a UFC London card, possibly in 2021. And, you know, it was like, well, Darren Till will be at the top of the bill because who else is there? Now yeah. It's, you know, Darren Till's off the card. You still have Paddy Pimblett, Tom Aspinall, Molly McKinnon, you know, the Paul Craig. I don't know if he's on the card or not, but I mean, you just go down the list. The UK MMA scene is very, very, you know, ripe with talent. And, you know, Darren being off this card is obviously, you know, it hurts the card and it's sad and, you know, it's terrible, obviously tragic for Darren, but you know, it shows you the strength that this card is not that much worse for the wear without Darren on it.
Yeah, that is true. You know, it doesn't help Darren, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people coming were excited to see Darren back, but fighting on English soil again, but you're right. Paul Craig is fighting Volkan Oezdemir. Mm-hmm. What a fight that, or is it? Yeah. Volkan Oezdemir. You've got Nikita Krylov versus Alexander Gustafsson. That's a great fight. Holy you got Paddy crap. On there. You got Molly McKenna. She's fighting as well. Obviously, Tom and Curtis Blaydes. You got Mohamed Makhachev again. He's only had one fight in the UFC, but he's a potential champion. It's a sick card. It really is. And I think because UFC London last time was such a success and Dana enjoyed it so much, the crowd were incredible. I think that's why they've kind of like loaded that card again. But also it's because of the wealth of the talent in the UK. It's a lot of the similar fighters taking on really, really good opponents. And that's because they're good enough to do so. They're not getting thrown to the wolves. They're being given logical matchups. Like Paul Craig's on, I think it's a 5 or even a 6 fight win streak. And they're all finishes. You know, against Volkan Oezdemir, if he can get through him, then we're having serious conversations for title eliminators. You know, it's great. By the way, I fly there on Monday. So, we'll do a podcast on Sunday, maybe. But yeah, I'll go back to London next week. That's always fun. All right, real quick, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. You know the one. It is the one-stop shop for all car parts. Whatever you need, whatever, doesn't matter how obscure the thing is, whatever you need for a car, rockauto.com has it, but more importantly, at the lowest possible prices. That is the reason that they've been in business for over 20 years. I say it all the time. They support this show and we support them. They've been in business for 20 years. They've got literally everything you could ever possibly imagine. And because there's no storefront markup, well, that results in a cheaper product for you. There's no guy trying to sell you things you don't need. And as I say, they're not adding a 50% retail markup. So that's why when I tell you to go to rockauto.com, we're not saying use the code Bisping or anything like that because it's already ridiculously cheap. So if you know your way around the car, if you're a car guy or a car girl, then you want to go to rockauto.com. Anytime you need a car part, that's where you want to go. In all seriousness, if you go anywhere else, you're out of your mind. This place is reliable. They've been in business for over 20 years. They've got an amazing track record, but more importantly, the prices are unbelievable. rockauto.com. Please tell them that the Believe You Me podcast sent you there. And enjoy. Yeah, there it is, rockauto.com. Let's get back into it. Throw a non-MMA story at me, Harrington. What do we have?
All right. How about this? There was a revolution in Sri Lanka via pool party.
Really? Do we have a video? Because I would like to see it.
I think we have pictures. I don't know if anybody's grabbing video out there, and if they are, if they have the internet to post it. But Yeah, the prime minister and the president of Sri Lanka have both resigned their positions. They are going to leave the country and live in exile after the people are just fed up with the leadership and the direction that the country is going in. And yeah, people have stormed the house of the president and the prime minister and are just enjoying their swanky, you know, their swanky digs as the office is now vacant.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if you know what's going on in Sri Lanka, and anyone out there, my thoughts are with you, because it seems like the country is just collapsing. I mean, the economy's all but gone. I think they've run out of money, they're running out of fuel, they're running out of food. So I'm not surprised that the prime minister and whoever else it was have ditched, because they're clearly doing a fucking awful job. And yeah, why not? Why not? I mean, it's just such a shame. The world's fucking going upside down at the minute. The amount of stuff that's going on, obviously, and this is doom and gloom, which is not what this podcast is about. Typically, we're getting on, we're just being silly, we're stupid, I make a fool out of myself and give you all something to laugh at, hopefully, and talk a bit of fight stuff, you know, but the world's going fucking mental these days. It's sad to see.
Speaking of that, tinfoil hats on, they just turned the Large Hadron Collider on the other day again. And the last
the particle accelerator?
Yes, they did. So maybe they pushed us into a different timeline, a better timeline.
You're saying we're now in a parallel universe, Brian? Is that what you're saying?
Hey, man, people were saying that the last time they did it. And then Donald Trump got like president. So fucking who knows?
Are you talking about the one? Is it in Switzerland or somewhere like that? And it's CERN, deep underground?
CERN. Yes.
It's in where?
Switzerland. It's in CERN in Switzerland. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brian, come back. Tinfoil hat time. Right. Yes, sir. Give me another one of your tinfoil hats, because listen, if you don't follow Brian on Twitter or social media or Instagram, whatever, yeah, you are a tinfoil. Where's your tinfoil hat? You love a conspiracy.
It's under my hair. It was surgically implanted years ago. Yeah. So I never lose it.
You love a good conspiracy theory. You have it on Facebook.
I also like to troll quite a bit. I like to see what people's reactions are to silly shit.
Brian, I often go down a rabbit hole, McKay, as you know, and in certain circles.
Me too.
Give me another one of your conspiracy theories that you think might shock me.
Here's a silly one.
I like silly ones.
The Earth is there's a big hole in the Earth at the North Pole where the lizard people live.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I'm definitely not serious, but people are.
Yeah, but people believe the Earth is flat as well. Do you, Brian?
Of course I do not. I don't believe any of this wild, random shit. I've been in a plane before. I know what a curve looks like.
The end of the world cannot be found because you just go round in a circle because of the gravity. Do you know what I mean? No one's ever fallen off. Do you know what I mean? No, ever. And if you fly on a plane, you just go off and you're like, oh shit, there it is over there. And if you're in a plane and you go that way, or so you go that way, guess what? Eventually, you end up back in the same spot. You go around in a big old circle. If you're a flat earther, you're a dickhead.
Jump off.
Yeah. Go to the end.
Do a flip. That's one of my favorite conspiracies, is that this dude, Admiral Byrd, took a flight to Antarctica in the 40s, I think. And like he actually did, but a lot of strange stories get told around it where like he had a diary and he wrote how he flew into the center of the Earth. Just it's Operation High Jump, I believe was the name of the thing. Just look it up. It's fun.
No, I will. I'll take a look at that next time I've got some time to waste. But are you aware of this one? Because I only found out about this the other day. There's some political correspondent. He was on Fox News or something, and he was talking about, I heard this on the radio the other day, driving back from driving through the desert. And he says that if you look at the White House at a certain time of day, you can see the portal to hell, which is above the White House. And it only appeared when Joe Biden took office. Have you heard of this one, Brian?
No, that's a little too far down the crazy hole for me.
Just Google that one for me. Just Google that one for me. It's true. Apparently this, and he's like a respected guy. How is this person walking around in daylight, free to do whatever he wants when that's what he thinks. There's a portal to hell now above the White House, which only appeared when Joe Biden took office. I mean, this is fucking great stuff for science fiction.
Oh, look at that. It showed up. That's fucking crazy, Mike.
Show it on the screen. I want to see it.
Oh, well, nobody has a picture of it. Hold on one second. I'm looking for something.
Yeah, I'm seeing Roger Stone was quoted as saying that. So take that with a grain of salt.
Who is Roger Stone? I don't know who he is.
Roger Stone's a maniac.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's like a political wheeler dealer kind of guy.
Okay. Anyway, we'll get off the politics, shall we?
I had a good one. I got a good conspiracy theory.
I want to hear it.
Is it about Fuck Island?
Nope. It's about the birds not being real.
Are you talking about Epstein Island there, Brian?
I was.
Yeah. Well, Ghislaine Maxwell is going to hopefully rot in a jail cell soon.
Hopefully not before she gives us the list of all the people that flew to Fuck Island.
Well, exactly. Let's just talk about this real quick, because apparently Jeffrey Epstein killed himself in prison.
Sure did.
Right. But then the theory is obviously because he knew, you know, he could, throw all these powerful, rich people under a bus.
He got suicided.
Yeah, so he got murdered in prison. Here's what I want to know. If they're going to fucking bump off Jeffrey Epstein because he knows too much, well, then surely they're going to kill Ghislaine Maxwell because she knows too much.
Well, she was the brains, right? So she was like the bookkeeper and all.
Yes.
So she might have been smart enough to be like, hey, if you kill me in jail, this stuff gets released to somebody. I mean, I'm just...
Okay, well, that's so you mean she's got a little insurance policy. I was going to say, if she doesn't get, she's still going to get bumped off. If she doesn't get bumped off, then it proves that your little conspiracy is wrong, Brian.
It proves nothing if she doesn't get bumped off.
Oh, look at Harrington, like, all passionate now. Whoa. Listen, if Ghislaine Maxwell doesn't get fucking murdered, okay?
We are not calling for violence. Please do not murder Ghislaine.
No, I don't want anybody. Just for the record, YouTube, I don't want anybody murdered. And that's not for YouTube. That's for the human race.
Exactly right.
Right, Harrison, what you got?
I was just gonna say birds aren't real. That's a fun one. They got the theory is that the birds that we know, right, the little ones that like have organs and fly around, go tweet tweet and lay eggs, those have all been replaced years and years ago. And the ones you see now, like that the bird chirping noises, those are all drones controlled by the government spying on us at all.
Why do
times.
You think pigeons just let you walk up to them? Because they're robots, bro.
Oh, my God. No, it's because they're so used to human interaction because they're in big cities looking for little morsels of food. And you know how you can find out if a bird's real? You can just see one get murdered and see their insides. There's no cogs. There's no equipment. I've seen it. I've seen birds die. I've seen my birds die. My birds got ripped out of a fucking cage by a hawk and there was blood and guts all over the place.
Did you keep her outside?
We did. Yeah.
Wait, you had an outside bird cage?
We did, yeah. Under a thing, it was fine. But then this giant hawk, I think I told this story years ago. Do you remember the story?
I've never heard this.
So at night we covered it up. We had two sun conures. After that, we had this other cage and we had all these parakeets, budgies, you call them. Apparently you're not meant to keep too many together. That was our first mistake. Then we left the birds with my father-in-law, Rebecca's dad. We came back and a couple more were dead. And I don't know what he did to them. Shout out Graham. and then another time at night, we would cover up the birds at night, you know, to keep them warm and just, you know, no light or whatever. And this hawk or this giant bird of prey, I couldn't identify what type, came trying to get them, but it got its talons caught in the blanket. And we were looking out of our window and it was trying to fly away and its wingspan trying to fly, but it couldn't because of the weight of the blanket. And we were like, oh my God, look at this. But then it came back later on. Apparently, the vet told us they do this a lot. They stick a talon through the thing, grab a bird, and then just yank it through the fucking bars and then fly off and eat it. Yeah, crazy, man. Nature.
Nature is metal.
Yeah,
nature is metal. Anyway, enough of that, because I don't know enough about nature to do a podcast on it. So what I do know about, though, is mixed martial arts. What are the big news have we got? Darren Till Zhao, John Jones, what is going on?
Yeah, so John Jones, Dana White came out and said, essentially, that it's been narrowed down to Stipe and Ngannou for John Jones' next fight, right? So John Jones was asked about it on Twitter. He said he's more interested in Stipe. Here's the quote. At this point, I'm looking to fight Stipe. I think it proves a lot more. Fighting a fairly one-dimensional fighter fresh off of knee surgery, I don't know. I believe beating Stipe says more at this point.
Do I have to say it, or are you going to say it?
I don't know what you're going to say, so why don't you say it?
According to Jones, and Jones is one of the greatest ever. He's in the top three of the GOATs, okay? It's a discussion. My career cannot hold a candle, a torch, whatever it is, right, to his career. He's
a picogram. Can't hold any of those to it.
Can't hold a picogram. That's a good one. No, I should have said that. That would have been great. Oh, I'm stealing that one from my YouTube channel. My career couldn't hold a picogram to this guy. No, but he's had an amazing career, so I'm not going to sit here and talk shit, which I'm not about to. What I'm saying, the only problem with the sentence, what he said, is that, according to John, the one-dimensional guy coming off a knee surgery also happens to be the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. So when he says, yes, I think beating Stipe proves more, no, it doesn't. He just knocked Stipe out and has the belt. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to be a smart guy. You don't need to be an expert on the sport. You don't have to be an ESPN analyst to figure that out, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that feels like more of a marriage of convenience thing, right? Because it feels like he can fight Stipe sometime in the next 3 to 4 months. The I don't see the Francis Ngannou fight materializing until at the very least 2023, with France being out for the knee surgery and all that. So I could see Jones saying whatever he needs to say to you know, hype up his next fight.
Yeah, no, and I respect that. That's actually a good take, Arrington, because the reality is, if he was to wait for Ngannou, it would be a long time, you know, and an unknown amount of time. There isn't even a time frame on it. So he's probably going to fight Stipe. It's probably going to be for an interim belt. So therefore, it makes sense to say those things. You always want to do that. You know, when you're fighting somebody, you never want to, certainly if you're in a pay-per-view percentage position. Oh, there's a big fucking, the triple P's, pay-per-view percentage position. You got to prioritize your pay-per-view percentage position personally and properly.
Dude, anyway. The 8 P's, the 8 P's to success.
The 8 P's, bro, the 8 P's, we know this. No. You never want to put your opponent down too much. You know what I mean? You want to make it sound like a competitive fight. Otherwise, people might not buy the pay-per-view. They might be like, well, no, he's just going to walk through him. I agree with what he said. I'll just see the highlights in the morning. Do you know what I mean? So John's hyping him up. Plus, Stipe is still, in my opinion, right now, the greatest featherweight fighter that we've had. Certainly, he's not exactly looking for an easy fight. Stipe.
Slightly bigger than that.
What?
You said greatest featherweight of all time.
Oh, did I say featherweight? I've got Arnold Allen on the brain. Okay. Simple as that. We all do. Shout out Arnold. Thank you very much. So yeah, John, it's just going to be good having him back. I've missed him, you know, and I need some bloody, we need some scandal. He's long overdue.
Yeah, he's been providing way more of that than fights. And that seems to be an issue. I want John Jones back in the cage.
No, me too, man.
I'm a big fan of superhero John Jones, who goes and breaks up crimes.
What's that one?
Well, didn't he like choked out some dude, or there was like a car?
Yeah,
something.
Sounds familiar.
15 years ago at this point, Kevin Holland has stopped 7 crimes since then.
I was going to say, you can't, black man and John Jones, you can't compare the two.
That's a weird sentence.
You
got to start somewhere. That's a weird
sentence.
Maybe we'll cut that one out.
Yeah. But that's not what I mean. Kevin Holland calls himself black man, not Batman. And John Jones is a black man. So that's why it's weird. But still, let's move on. Tell me about Luke Rockhold. Luke Rockhold's coming back. He's got a tough fight. I respect him. He's going up against Paulo Costa, a hard-hitting Brazilian that loves a bit of red wine the night before a fight. So what is Luke Rockhold doing for this training camp?
He's a man after my own heart. He has picked up a regimen of marijuana to help him to, you know, with recovery, and then mushrooms to help with running, right? Little magic mushrooms helps with the running, helps with recovery. He says that combining those two, he's able to dissect his training camp a little bit more and really soak in the lessons learned from the hard work that he's putting in training.
Interesting. I mean, it is a popular thing these days. A lot of people are doing mushrooms. I got given some. So I thought I'd give them a little bash. Didn't do anything. Someone said, you just microdose them. You just take a couple of these and like, you won't want to drink alcohol. You won't want to do anything. You don't feel it. You won't feel high. Like you just take these microdose of magic mushrooms. They're totally legal. They're all in pills. It's all measured out. Everything's fine. I said, come on then. I'll have a try because Jason Perillo turned his life around on them. And I was like, well, this seemed like a good thing. Gave him a try. Nothing for me.
I don't know. I mean, the microdose, I've noticed colors, right? That's the only thing that really changes is colors get a little bit brighter. Music sounds a little bit better. I'm a little bit quicker to laugh. And it's like, I could see how, you know, being that much more hyper aware and in the moment could help an MMA fighter.
Well, I understand, you know, if you want to sit around and you want to dissect your past performances, you know, and you want to really delve into the psyche and what went wrong. I'll tell you what fucking went wrong. Chin up in the air, hands down low. Okay? Simple as that. You don't need magic mushrooms. Oh, my God, guys. I've been on a spiritual awakening. I have taken so many magic mushrooms. I disappeared for 4 days. I didn't speak to anybody. And I came out of it enlightened. I have to watch out for left hooks. Do you know what I mean? You got caught with a few. Simple as that. You know, hey, I'm not. I like Luke. I do. I like Luke, and I think he's got a lot to offer the sport still. I do. And I think, and maybe it's because I beat him, you know, so obviously, oh, Luke's amazing, you know, maybe. But I see him in the gym still, and I see what he can do. He's still a formidable fighter, and I feel like he doesn't get the respect that he deserves at large from the MMA community. Because he had a great career. Look what he did in Strikeforce, became the champ, became the middleweight champ in the UFC. All right, he lost to me, Blachowicz, and Yoel. You know what I mean? And the problem is he's getting on. He's no spring chicken. That's one of the only, well, it's not the only problem, but it's like one of the big issues, though. He's 38, I think. You know what I mean? So he's getting close to retirement time, something like that anyway. But I think if he can beat Paulo Costa, he's right back in it. He's in the deep end and potentially could be like one more win or even outfight against bloody Rockhold. Sorry, against Adesanya. You know what I mean? And I would love to see that fight.
You figure Adesanya's got Pereira next, right? Like that's pretty much lock, set, in stone. You got, if Rockhold can get past Paulo Costa, who else is really making a claim at the top of the 185-pound division to get up to Israel Adesanya next? I don't see the person. And Luke Rockhold has been saying for 2 years now, he has the sauce to beat Israel Adesanya. So, you know, like you said, it's, you know, he's a 3-year layoff, but it only really takes one win to get you right back into that conversation.
Well, no, for sure, because of the body of work that he had prior to that. Yeah, the layoff is an issue, but he's still a big name in the sport. People know who he is. They know the body of work that he had. And Adesanya has gone through them all, pretty much. I mean, who else is there? Is it going to be Robert Whittaker? Just went through him. It's not going to be Brunson. It's not going to be Cannonier.
Yeah, Vittori.
Vittori's had 2 shots. Till's out. Jack Hermanson? It ain't going to be him. You know, and you start running out. That's why Pereira has been fast-tracked. And, of course, he's got 2 victories over Adesanya in kickboxing, so that sells itself. But if I'm Israel Adesanya, I want Rockhold to win that fight because he needs fresh meat. He needs people with a storyline. I mean, they could sell that, the dominant champ, because he was a dominant champ. Well, no, he never actually defended. But the run that he had to becoming the champ was fucking crazy, you know,
and the way he took the belt. I mean, the being in mount on Chris Weidman for like 2 straight minutes, where everybody and their mother at home was screaming, stop the fight. Like that was, it literally did look like Luke Rockhold's going to own this division for the next 2-3 years.
What he did to Lyoto Machida, No one's beating Machida like that. Do you know what I mean? And that was Machida back in his prime as well. So yeah, yeah. Anyway, there it is. There it is. All right. Well, that is the podcast for today, I do believe. We do have questions to answer, though. And if you would like to send questions in, then we would like to answer them for you as well. We appreciate all the love and support on the podcast. You guys are extremely passionate. We know it. Anthony Smith knows it. He is in Aruba right now. As I said, he's getting around on this training camp. I mean, it's getting close now. July 30th. I mean, essentially just around the corner, 3 weeks away. So, Anthony, I hope you're training hard. He's been in North Carolina. He's been in
Denver.
He's in Aruba. I mean, he's pulling out all the stops. He's got a tough fight against Magomed Ankalaev. One would think that that's going to be a title eliminator as well. But he is making time for us. He will be with us on Thursday. We'll get a full check-in with him and see how he's going. But we're going to answer some of your questions. And if you want to send yours in, please send them to bympod@gmail.com.
And if you are listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure you subscribe to the show and leave a little five-star review, positive rating. Five-star rating, positive review. We really appreciate it. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you're subscribed to the show and that notification bell is clicked so you find out whenever a new video comes out. And if you want to catch over 300 episodes of this show you can't find anywhere else, ad-free, uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
Absolutely do. Check them out. Sorry, I was reading a text message. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just dived in at the last minute. Brian, what the hell have we got, my friend?
So first question today we have from regular contributor here, Christian James.
Oh, Christian.
What's up, Grand Podcast? Mr. Lionheart, Mr. Bisbang, Mr. Brian, and Uncle Fester. How you guys doing this week? Oh, whoa, whoa. First, I'm going to guarantee you guys actually answer.
Oh, just pause. Okay. That's brilliant. Pull it back to those Uncle Fester pictures. Oh my God. The one on the, oh my God.
Ooh, that hurts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, press play.
First, I'm going to guarantee you guys actually answer my question. Okay. Now, my question for the week. What is the single most devastating shot you guys have ever seen in MMA history? Whether it happened to you or you did it to somebody else, or it was just a fight you guys remember. For me, I've been watching since UFC 1. It was Masvidal versus Ben Askren, the flying knee. I thought the collision had broken Ben Askren's neck like an NFL player, like two NFL players going head-to-head on the field. So please answer the question. And Uncle Fester, grow your fucking beard back.
Trying.
Yeah, I've got to grow my beard. So we'll see who can grow it better because it's not going to be me. Listen, mind just immediately goes to UFC 100.
What happened there?
I got knocked into Brian's parallel dimension.
I don't remember that happening.
Yeah, no. I don't remember it happening. Funnily enough, I have zero recollection. Jesus Christ. But I've seen it on loop, on highlights. Anytime someone wants to give me shit on Twitter, it's a picture of that. Dan Henderson hits hard. What else stands out for ones that I haven't had? I mean, obviously, when he said Masvidal, I thought he was going to say Darren Till because that one really shocked me. I didn't expect that one, but the Masvidal one was big. Oh, Ngannou, when he clipped over him with that uppercut.
What about Jiri with the spinning back elbow?
Ooh, that was a good one. Harrington, you got one?
Yeah, from this year, when Michael Chandler landed that front kick on Tony Ferguson and his whole body went limp, I was like, yo, somebody's got to check on Tony. He's probably not right after that.
Gabriel Gonzaga, UFC 70, when he head-kicked Mirko Krokop. Mm-hmm. And coming into that one, Krokop just came from Pride. He was right leg hospital, left leg cemetery, right? If Krokop connects with a head kick, it's lights out. But it was the jiu-jitsu guy that fucking head kicks him and folded him. I mean, that's the great thing about this sport. There's so many. What else we got? Brian, you got one more? Hamilton, you got one more?
Gary Goodrich fucking crucifixing that dude and elbowing him.
Child's play. Child's play. If you haven't seen the clip, ladies and gentlemen, of Gary Goodrich, I think it's in Pride. Right, he's on his back and he's got an opponent in his guard punching him in the face. And he's literally going, Child's play, come on, whoa. So every time he punches him in the face, I mean, talk about demoralizing. If you are that man punching Gary Goodridge in the face and that's his response, you are shitting your pants straight away. You're like, oh my God, I am out of my depth. All right,
last Brian, one. Oh, I was gonna, Barboza versus Terry Etim, the spinning wheelhouse kick.
That's actually maybe the scariest KO of all time.
Yeah, that one was bad. That was bad. Go on, Bri.
All right, so we got one here from Mr. Thomas Foote.
Hey, Mike Hansley, my name's Tommy. I'm from Missouri. My question is this. If you could only pick one fight to watch, and it was Alex Pereira versus Israel Adesanya, Charlie O versus Connor, or John Jones versus Francis, which fight would you pick out of those three? And Anthony, good luck on the fight coming up. Big fan of both of you guys. So, yeah, bring that strap to the Midwest. And thank you guys. Catch you later.
Wouldn't that be amazing if Anthony Smith became the light heavyweight champion? We got not one champ on this show. We got two.
For the show alone, it would be amazing. Show,
it would. How quickly do you think Anthony Smith would drop us? You know what I mean? He's like, yeah.
He'd go back to doing his show on Sirius or whatever.
I can't make it this week, guys. I'm not in Aruba. I'm in fucking Monte Carlo or over some high-flying, falutin' place that he's ditching us for once again. All right, so Conor versus Charlie Olives, John Jones and Garnin. What was the other one?
Pereira versus Adesanya.
Pereira. Okay, well, that one's happening.
But he's saying if you could only see one of these three fights, which one are you taking?
If I could only see one of them, Pereira, Adesanya. Who was it?
Ngannou versus Jones and Conor versus Charlie Olives.
Ngannou versus Jones. Conor McGregor versus Oliveira. That'll be a great fight. You know what I mean? Sit here and hate on Conor all you want, but you can't say the guy can't fight. You know, you can't say the guy can't crack. You know, and people fucking love him and worship him. There's a lot of people where he gets on the nerves. Say, you can feel however you want to feel about him personally or whatever. He's been amazing for the sport, and you cannot deny. Listen, is he past his prime? Maybe. Maybe. Can he fucking deliver every time he steps in the octagon? Absolutely. So that would be incredible. So that, Jones versus Ngannou, though. I mean, I'm going to go with Conor and Oliveira just for the excitement, for the build-up alone. You know what I mean? It would be very, very exciting. What about you?
I mean, yeah, it would be super exciting, especially because Oliveira gets touched in every single fight. And if Conor touches you, it's a different story, or at least it used to be. Ngannou versus Jones, though, I mean, this is dating back to 2019 now. We've been waiting for this fight. Yeah. So 3 years, almost 4 years in the making. I mean, I don't know. You're talking about arguably the greatest light heavyweight of all time against the scariest heavyweight of all time. I mean, this is, you know, I'd like to see how Jones looks at heavyweight first before making this like my one dream fantasy matchup pick. But I think, you know, for all things considered, you know, the bigger guys win.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting seeing Jones walking around at 265 pounds because it changes a lot of things. You know, in terms of his gas tank, his ability, you know, his conditioning, his cardio, as I say, his speed for sure will be a little bit compromised. Of course, with all that muscle comes extra power, which can translate into speed. But, you know, it will, as the fight progresses, it will slow you down. I mean, I'm bigger now than what I ever was when I was fighting, you know, in terms of muscle and stuff like that. And yeah, I feel it. I get tired quicker. You know, when I'm hitting the bag or doing a little sparring, which doesn't happen very often, but when it does, I definitely gas faster. Granted, I'm not training like I used to, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. Brian, do we have one more?
That's it for the fieldable questions today, Mike.
We do get a lot of nonsense. We do get a lot of inappropriate stuff. If you're sending inappropriate stuff, please don't do that, okay? And that's it. We're going to be back Thursday with another episode. All of us, plus Anthony Lionheart-Smith. Harrington, do you have a little message of hope and glory for the believers?
I just want to say it's been an honor and a privilege broadcasting with you as always, Mr. Bisping.
Oh, no. You don't have to end on such an ass-kissing note.
All right, fine. The count. Whatever you want to say.
No, that's not what I meant. I mean, address the believers.
Address them? I mean, they don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from Lionheart Smith.
They love you, Harrington. They love you. Well, Brian, do you have a message for Harrington?
I have roofers right now banging on shit. I think I'm gonna leave it right there.
Well, I think that's time we ended the show then, isn't it? Thank you for sticking with us. We appreciate every single one of you. Take care, all the best. We'll be back on Thursday.